This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Badger and Packer Gary Ellerson, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
It is the Gary Ellerson Homer Hour. Can't wait. Can't wait to find out what is on the mind of Gary Ellerson. It's always the Green Bay Packers. That's what we do. Because I have a question about you regarding the Green Bay Packers.
Sure.
But I'll wait.
Sure.
You ready for mine?
Yes.
You do a show on a regular basis with Leroy Butler. You're an offensive guy. He's a defensive guy. But even more than that, do the two of you view the game the same, or what have you learned working with him as far as what you see the same or what you see differently?
Well, yeah, I think we view it from a different lens. I'm looking more at the defensive front, and obviously he's looking at the formations that the offense is given. So it's a little bit different the way we view things. I think for myself, I'm trying to figure out what they're trying to trick us into doing. Or it's more about, too, if Lynn Dickey's my quarterback, what audibles he's trying to give me to counteract what the defense is doing. And Homer, I think most people don't know that you can probably get four audibles just in one play, depending on what the defenses give you and what they check in and out of.
Explain. So, hold on. You're in the huddle, and there's a play called, right?
Right.
Now, I don't need the 20 different words and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But you break the huddle, and you assume that we're going to have a play. Now, I think football has changed from when you played, and that everything is now each side trying to hide what they're doing. Like the defense looks at a way that you look at, go, this is what they're doing, when in fact that's not what they're doing. And sometimes they don't know what they're doing because their defense changes based on what they see. Your offense may change based on what you see. So the play actually occurs, or what play is going to be done, based on what the offense thinks they see of the defense, and the defense does the same on what they think of the offense. Now, is that principle even accurate, or is it we call a play and run it and they try to stop it?
No, I think in Leroy's position, you talked about him because he played that safety, strong safety, kind of a linebacker hybrid kind of a deal. If he's in the box, right, we're probably going to try to throw the football. Or if there's a too high safety, right, we're probably going to try.
Wait a minute. So you're in the huddle and you call a run play. Right? I mean, in the huddle, you call a play, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you not call one play? Do you call, all right, it's going to be one of three plays based on what Lynn Dickey, the quarterback, sees? Which?
Well, we know that there's a couple things happening here. There is a particular play call.
All right.
And then there are plays.
Hand off to Gary Ellison. He's running off tackle. All right. Got it.
Right, and then all of a sudden, off tackle where I'm going, there is Leroy Butler on the left side where I'm supposed to go. Maybe now we check out of that play and run it to the right side.
Okay, hold on. You don't check out of it. Lynn Dickey does. You don't have any say.
Lynn Dickey checks.
All right, now he can check out to run the same play but a different area, maybe left. So that would hear that when he's at the line of scrimmage, right?
Right.
That would be an audible. Now, another audible could be based on where he sees Leroy or sees somebody else. They're going to you're not going to run the ball anymore. You're going to pass. Correct?
Correct.
That occurred.
And Bob Snelker's offense was a little bit more different, creative like that. My second year in Green Bay, we ran more of a check with me series where they called two plays in the huddle and we would go with either one of those plays plus an audible.
All right, hold on. So that's up to Lynn Dickey, the quarterback, to decide which of those two you would do, right?
Yes.
All right.
Right.
What percentage of the plays ended up being one of those two? I'm guessing 90% or maybe
90%. Yeah.
So the 10% Lynn Dickey sees something so important that he says, screw those two plays. We're not running another play.
And then he turns around and looks at you, or he points, because sometimes I'm in the I formation. I may need to get into a split back formation to get to where
Wouldn't
we need to go.
Wouldn't you know that based on the audible that he calls, or can you not hear it, or what?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I would, and then sometimes you have to point to get the guy where you want to go, and you kind of just pick it up.
And so now, when you break the huddle, you have a chance of one of three, well, more than three plays.
Yeah.
The audible could be a number of different plays, right?
Right.
I don't know. How many audible plays do you have going into a game?
Well, it all depends on what the defense is. I mean, you got to be able to, and this is where it gets difficult, because you got the combine going on right now, right? And to me, it was much more difficult in the pros than it was in college now, because the offenses, I think they were a little bit more elaborate in how they wanted to attack defenses. And I think now, what you're seeing, you see a lot of teams, and nowadays they played the two high safety or the one high safety, and then they know whether they want to run or throw it. And then you have certain players, like, let's say, Aaron Rodgers, who has certain hand signals and gestures to get certain guys in certain areas. I never played in an offense like that. The offenses that I played in basically came from the offensive coordinator and not from what a quarterback made up with hand gestures.
But I don't know that other quarterbacks do it as much as Rodgers, right? That he's, is it fair to say he's at a different level, or maybe all the quarterbacks?
I think it's fair to say he may be at a different level. But I think now some of your elite quarterbacks are that way. I think Tom Brady most certainly was that way, and guys had to pick it up. It feels like within an offense with McVay, Stafford, because they've been together for so long, I think there's some nuances that they pick up.
Now,
as well.
We didn't even get to the new stuff that you didn't have, and I don't know when this started, and that is the RPO, which to me is just basically stolen from the wishbone of many years ago. And that is, the wishbone had three running backs, and the quarterback was could hand it off to the first guy, but he's looking at somebody on the defense. Maybe it's an end tackle, and if the defensive guy is a certain place, he hands it off to him, and if he's not, then he kind of decided who to hand the ball off to, and I don't think they decided before the play actually started. And now it's, right, what they call an RPO, and the quarterback can hand it off, or based on who he sees and where that person is, I assume it's an end or whatever, but then he can keep the ball and pass. So the defense can't know what the offense is doing, because the offense hasn't even decided what to do with an RPO.
Actually, if you're running wishbone, just say you're running that offense, actually, the defense decides where they want the ball to go to.
Oh, because they know what the offense will do based on what they see.
Right.
Oh,
right. Because
yeah.
you have an assignment, right? So in certain cases, the inside linebackers have the fullback, and then the defensive end may have the quarterback, and then the cornerback has the pitch.
So the defense knows if we do this, they know what the quarterback's going to see and do.
Right.
Right. All right. Now let's get to
it. You can say to yourself, hey, you know what? The fullback is not very good. Let's make him hand it off to the fullback all the time.
Right.
And let's make sure we overplay Marcus Dupree.
Yeah.
Which it really didn't matter if you overplayed him or not, because he was just that good.
Greg Pruitt is another name that I think of with Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Now let's get to the current RPO. I don't know that the defense is determining that. I mean, maybe they are. They know. But you don't know when an RPO is going to be called. That's the other thing. Oh, the wishbone was every play. So now am I right? RPO, it's either no one knows if it's a run or a pass because it hasn't been really decided yet, right?
Right. So it depends on the look that you're getting.
And yet it would seem to me. Go ahead.
And so if you're the defense side of the ball, you know that that's what's coming, then you say to yourself, it's the RPO. We're going to give up. We want him to throw it to the guy in the slot.
Correct.
So we're giving that up to make him throw that.
But,
and we're doubling Devontae Adams on the outside. Rodgers throw it to Devontae anyway, and don't take the slot guy because he knows Devontae can beat the double team.
So it's almost the same as the wishbone in that regard, the defense. But the difference I would say is, you can tell me if I'm wrong, people ran the wishbone every play. Now,
yes.
I don't know what percentage are RPOs. You don't know if it's going to be an RPO, so you can't, I don't know, maybe you know based on the formation. I would think that's the benefit of the RPO. The defense can't decide what they want to force you to do because they don't know when the play starts. Right? I mean, it seems to me the defense has probably figured out what formation you're in when you do an RPO, and then maybe they do have that ability to force you to do a certain thing or, I don't know, take it away.
No, I don't know if they force you. They give you certain plays.
Right.
They give you a guy open to throw to where the quarterback says, oh, this is an easy throw, and then he takes it. Let's just say it's third and five, and they're going to give you just this little two-yard pattern or three-yard pattern, and now you got to run for two more yards or three more yards to get the first down. You got to make sure, because you're giving that guy that cushion, that you've got to make the tackle right away before he gets the first down.
Now, as far as the other RPO theories, it was always with the Packers, everything that was an RPO for Rodgers ended up being a pass.
Correct.
I don't even know if that's true.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt
like. That's what
like,
it felt like. Yeah. Yeah.
But then that's because, and I would emphasize this, this is why I thought, and I want you to know it as well, that I could have been his quarterback coach.
Is that where you're going with all this?
No, I'm not going all that. I just want to throw that out. Why? Because all I got to do is get him coffee. All right, here, I'm your quarterback coach. Aaron, do whatever the hell you want. Every play, whatever the hell you want. Now, wait a minute. I think that may have been what they did. All right, you're his quarterback coach because you played in the NFL. I think as quarterback coach, you'd have done the same thing. Like, Aaron, anything I can do to help, whatever you see, go ahead and do, because I think that he's going to make the best decision. I never bought that he did things because it made him look better. He did things because it made the team look better, and that, of course, would make him look better. But I don't believe he, that's the better play, but we're running this one so I can get more yards passing. What do you say? That's why I would let him do whatever he wants.
And I think in some cases with Aaron Rodgers, I think that is true. Most certainly. In the early years, I don't think that it was, but most certainly that second year with Matt LaFleur, you saw Rodgers doing some stuff because you could see Matt LaFleur mouthing, what play is that? He had no idea what Rodgers was doing or what Randall Cobb was running. So you can see some of those things happening within that offense. I think early on with Mike McCarthy, it didn't work like that. I think then later years, they got a little bit more comfortable and you saw Rodgers start doing a lot of his own thing. I think the first year on Matt LaFleur, we did see more motion, what he wanted to run. That second year, not as much more motion and more the stagnant play that Aaron Rodgers wanted to do. And speaking of Aaron Rodgers, I think some of the news out today, I think you've probably seen some of this stuff, that Matthew Stafford now is in talks with the Las Vegas Raiders. And then what does that do with now the quarterback position with the Rams? And most people think that that is the next landing spot for Aaron Rodgers with McVay with the Rams.
Well, then I have to care about it because it does affect the Green Bay Packers. And it all comes down to this, how much you think he was hurt last year and that as he got healthy from the Achilles, he played so much better the last half. Because if you don't believe that his play last year was some way altered because he was hurt, then you're an idiot. Let me emphasize, idiot to sign Aaron Rodgers.
Well,
you
should know. I think everyone should notice. I mean, when you come off of ACLs, when you come off of torn Achilles, which I think is even worse than ACL, it takes you over a year.
Okay.
To come back from injuries like that to be yourself. So next year, well, wherever teams he goes to next year, he should be fully healthy.
Yeah,
he was banged up a lot last year.
Fine, but he's still 100 years old.
Yeah.
How fast you come
he
back?
Still is.
He's still 5 seconds away from another injury because he's an old man.
Right, and that's why now, though, and everybody says this, Brett Favre right now, if you don't make a move, can come out and throw the football with the best quarterback.
Yes,
in the
until he gets hit once.
Because he's always going to have that arm. I think Aaron Rodgers is in that same boat, where of course he's a little bit better. I think Rodgers still can throw the football.
Yeah, and I think he can move. Not like he once did. He doesn't. No, he doesn't look like Tom Brady.
No,
that's what that'd be the ultimate insult. See Aaron Rodgers. Hey,
yeah.
Hey, Tom Brady, how you doing?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Come on!
Absolutely.
I can run better than Tom Brady in my sleep. Absolutely. I can run better. That's what he'd probably say. All right, that was a great first quarter. And I want to emphasize, because people say, I said I never talk about Aaron Rodgers. I don't care about Aaron Rodgers, but everything is important as it relates to the Green Bay Packers. And if Aaron Rodgers is going to play quarterback for the Rams, then I have some interest because that affects the Green Bay Packers. Making the playoffs will be determined to some degree by the Rams. He goes to the AFC, he's dead to me again. I don't care.
Right.
But
right.
I don't want people think I'm changing. Now, Homer, I thought you said you never talk about him. Well, again, this changes things. But, all right, we'll take a break. Second quarter next.
1, 2, you know what to do.
The Gary Ellison Homer Hour, the second quarter. You got all kinds of partners. Everybody wants you to talk about them. Take it away, Gary.
Oh, gee, let's talk about my good friends over at Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center. Guys, they're hosting another Bramble tournament with $1,000 in cash prizes available. Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center invites you to play in a two-man scramble at TPC Scottsdale, all from the comforts of indoors on their top-tech, cutting-edge golf simulators. Grab a friend and sign up today at WisconsinIndoorGolfCenter.com. The tournament is $120 per pairing and runs through February 28th. Your winter chance to play TPC Scottsdale awaits. WisconsinIndoorGolfCenter.com.
And I want to talk to you about time. Half hour, exactly 38 minutes. You know where I'm going next? Yep, American Place Casino. You hear all kinds of other great things about American Place Casino. But Homer, I know Homer, a half hour south of Franklin, exactly 38 minutes, if you want to be more specific. American Place Casino, located in Lake County, Illinois. Great table games, great slot machines, got a sports book, great food, North Shore Steaks and Seafood, and you get all the information how you can have special times to win even more. You go to AmericanPlaceCasino.com. But when you look at me, the first thing I want you to say is, I know, Homer, American Place Casino, half hour south of Franklin, 38 minutes if you want to be even more specific. All right, second quarter. That was so much fun talking football. Why do you make fun of me when I say I could be the quarterback coach for Aaron Rodgers? Because I think you could be a quarterback coach. I think anybody could be a quarterback coach, because all you do is say, can I get you coffee? What?
No.
Let me go to the next thing so you won't say it's me. Do I think he's a smarter offensive mind than Mike McCarthy and LaFleur? Yes. Yes. I think he's smarter than both of them running an offense.
And here's
All right, here's
why, because you have to protect Rodgers from himself. So you got to have a coach with him. You got to be able to wrangle him back in.
What, because like, he's going to do the wrong thing?
He'll go off on the deep end.
What is he going?
Absolutely.
Gary Ellison, can I ask you a question?
You got to be able to control the chaos with him.
Okay, all right. So that means that he would be interested in doing something that would potentially make him worse than he is, right?
Correct.
There's no way Aaron Rodgers is ever going to do that. His ego's too big for that. No, you think
you have to control. You have to control him from him. You have to save him from himself. Absolutely. You got to save him.
So Matt LaFleur, Mike McCarthy, this should be the Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Homer says that Aaron Rodgers is a smarter offensive mind than Mike McCarthy or Matt LaFleur. You say no.
And that may be true, Homer, but what I'm saying to you is that you're saying to me that he doesn't need a coach. And I'm saying he does to save him from himself.
He needs a coach. He didn't need a quarterback coach. That's my point.
He needs a quarterback.
He needs a coordinator.
Coach.
Well, I mean, Clemens, I guess.
Whatever it is, he needs someone to save him from himself.
Well, no, you got to
I'm not saying he's not smarter than those guys.
Right.
But you can't just let him go off on his own.
Let me just give you an example. No,
that's
you're not letting. He's got a quarterback coach, and he's got a coordinator, another coach, and they have to talk and discuss stuff. I mean, I'm not arguing with that. They discuss stuff, right? Yes, these people can input. Everybody has helpers, right? It's a community or it's a village or whatever. It's a garbage. All right. But my point is, he's the man.
It's a village to raise a kid. Yeah.
He's the man. Let me give you a good example. I think the most underrated offensive mind in the history of the NFL is Vince Lombardi. He's not given credit for being an offensive genius. That whole offense was all him. The power sweep was all him. However, he had a quarterback named Bart Starr, and he allowed Bart Starr to make every call in some games. When they played the Bears, the great defense of George Allen, all right? You know who called every play at the line of scrimmage? Bart Starr.
Well, let me just say this, Homer.
Yes.
And I don't know for sure, but if you're doing it the right way, he called every single play that Vince Lombardi would have called.
Now, Bart's no longer with us. Vince, of course, is no longer with us. That's a great question. I don't know who I have to ask that, but yes, my guess is...
Because I think back in those days, you're predominantly a run team. So now it depends on how you want to block it up.
Right. But I'm saying the same thing.
They give you outside shade. Bart and Vince know what to call depending on what the defense is giving you and how they're going to block it up. I'm sure they had like maybe 10, 15 different ways to block the Packers sweep. I'm assuming they did not block the sweep the same every single time, depending on what formation you got defensively.
Well, if John Madden were still alive, he would tell us because he went to a clinic, Vince Lombardi power sweep, and he thought, well it's a one-day thing. What else is he going to talk about? So they are there from 8 to noon for 4 hours. What did Vince Lombardi talk about? The power sweep. What else did he talk about? Nothing. So they go to lunch, and Madden tells somebody, well, I'm wondering what Vince is going to talk about in the afternoon from 1 to 5. You know what he talked about from 1 to 5? The power sweep. Eight hours on one play. So
because that means you can block it up different ways. I mean, we see the one language where he's out on the field, Vince Lombardi is talking about the sweep, and he goes, we need a seal here and a seal here and up in the alley. Those are all blocking assignments.
Yes.
Where he knows where guys are going to be.
Yes. But I'm saying with Aaron Rodgers, so he calls an audible. Like every time he calls an audible, he's doing a Bart Starr, right? He's seeing something that he thinks he's figured out the best play, even if it's not the one that McCarthy or LaFleur called, right? Now maybe it is an audible but
the difference between McCarthy, Matt LaFleur, Vince Lombardi, and Bart Starr. Vince Lombardi knew the play that Bart was going to run. You never saw Bart over there with his hands up in the air with a shrug emoji like what that play is. You never saw that.
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to ask Dave Robinson. He's still around. I don't know.
Call Dave up.
I don't know if I ever saw, and I mean,
I was born in 63, but I don't ever mean to see Vince with the hand shrug emoji.
In essence, I mean, I won't know, but the essence we're trying to figure out and when there's a disagreement between LaFleur and Rodgers and I think at some point LaFleur just said, do whatever the hell you want. Now, I mean, you talk about things.
I think at some point it did get that way.
Yes, and I don't know what went wrong. You know, when it didn't go well, that's the thing I'd love to know. Yeah. And all I know in basketball, Tony Smith always says, Homer, you just refuse to understand. He goes, like, sometimes players just mess up. Like, it's not a bad place. Somebody just messes up. And I'm assuming that can happen in football, too. And I think what Rodgers did was it was not only the play, but who he was counting on. And if he didn't have confidence in you, he didn't give a damn if you were going to be wide open because he was afraid you'd screw it up, which, again.
But Homer, it's funny that you mentioned the sport of basketball because there are some coaches, you can see it really more in basketball. There are some coaches in basketball that they want to touch, feel, they want to control everything about that basketball program, yes, and most certainly what goes on on the court. Like they're controlling all that. And then there are some coaches that throw the basketball out there and just let you go creative and be yourself. I mean, like, they have a foundation, but you have more room to have freedom to just be you. And then there are some coaches who wants to control every single aspect of the play. You almost become a robot. Go here, set the pick, come back, set this pick up here, down pick, cross pick, this, that, and run that mechanical offense. And then I think there's some guys like maybe Calipari who says, okay, I have an offense, but I'm going to rely on these jokers here to go out and be free and be the athletes that they are.
This is the Gary Ellerson Homer Hour, and we're going to get to the third quarter because we got to get to Jordan Love. And how good, and Gary Ellerson may have told us already this, but I'm going to keep asking it again. How good is Jordan Love as a quarterback? Is he an average NFL quarterback? Is he better than an average NFL quarterback? There's still a legitimate wonder because he hasn't played that long, but maybe there isn't a wonder. How good is Jordan Love? How good should your expectations be next year? How much of this past year was as a result or he was bothered by or affected by an injury? Third quarter, next.
You're listening to the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Quarter number three, the Gary Ellerson Homer Hour. And we get to Jordan Love, but not until we hear from another partner that really wants Gary Ellerson to talk about.
Guys, I'm talking about good friends over at the Jury Center. If you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jury Center is the only place to go for the ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. If you have a Pinterest board that I looked to, took the Jury Center and their team of specialists took care of the rest. So if you got a Pinterest board out there and you know exactly what you want, come up with some plans. My good friends over at the Jury Center can come up with an idea to help you design the ring that you would like. Naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to engagement rings, the Jury Center has it all. Check them out on their inventory at all of their three locations in Greenfield, Brookfield, or Burlington online at shoptjc.com.
The third quarter of the Gary Ellerson Homer Hour. What do you want to say about Jordan Love? I love asking you. You get 60 seconds, 30 seconds on Jordan Love. What do you want them to know that you think first and foremost about him above everything else?
About Jordan Love?
Yeah, 30 seconds on Jordan Love.
Well, I mean, I think for Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love this year, third year starting, I think this is a big year for them, both of them. I think it's on both of them now to try to go back last year and figure out what they did wrong, what they did right, and do that suits them. I don't know. I think they would like to move him in the pocket a little bit more, and I don't know if he was hurt last year where they weren't comfortable and moving him around a little bit more. But I think this year, if he's healthy, I think you're going to see him moving around a little bit more in the pocket. I think half the offense was probably taken away from him because of the injury with the knee and then with the groin.
Yeah, the 30 seconds from Gary Ellerson. I don't even need 30 seconds. Yes, if we don't see a more mobile Jordan Love next year, I'm worried. I'm worried about how good he can be.
Absolutely.
Because to me, part of the ability that he has is his ability to maneuver. I mean, he's clearly got an arm, but I expect more yards rushing from Jordan Love. I expect more plays out of the pocket. Because if it doesn't, then last year had nothing to do with injuries. That's just Jordan Love. And he's got to be able to move more. Other than that, I want to see what you observe as any changes, because I will never understand having a running back as good as they had and yet all of a sudden seeming to having more difficulty passing the ball or people being open with that good a running back. But
I think the biggest difficulty that they'll face this year, Homer, is to me is about Jaire Alexander whether they sign him, let him go.
He's not coming
who
back.
Replaces him?
I think he's gone.
That's the biggest deal. Then if he's gone,
they got a draft.
You can put a guy in there for like 4 or 5 games, but when you're looking to have a guy there for 17 games, you got to have an answer for that.
You got a better chance of swimming to the moon than Jair Alexander playing for the Packers this year. I've said this before, and I don't know one wants to, but if I'm Jair Alexander, I'm never playing for the Packers again. The way they treated me and the way they presented me as far as the injury that I have, I don't ever want to play for that team again. Because they could have just said, I got a knee. Where's that? Just like
they had a PCL tear or something like that.
Yeah, and I'm sure, as you would know, because it occurred all the time, the doctors may have thought he could play, and he didn't. Well, my point is, that ain't the first time it's ever happened and won't be the last. And show some respect for your player and just let it be. If you don't want him anymore because he didn't play or he's too hurt, then you get rid of him. But you don't, in the process, lead people to believe, as everyone did, he's not hurt. He's not hurt. He could play.
Well, no. You didn't believe. You knew he was hurt. But what was the significance of the injury? You knew he was hurt.
Right.
Like, could he play with it? And most guys have played with a PCL.
Fine.
Or MCL. Some guys have done it. But some guys won't play that way.
Right. That's so between me and you in the locker room and your teammates.
Yeah,
but to everybody out there, hey, he's hurt.
Right.
He's day to day.
Right.
Everybody is. It didn't go. They made it clear by their emotions and some of what was said.
That they thought he could play.
They thought he could play, and especially when he played and then could only play 10 plays. Yeah. And then like, we could have.
That was the straw that broke the camel back.
I believe so. And I'd have been privately and going, hey, play whatever you can play, and if you can only play 10 plays, so be it. I just don't. That's how I would be. I never want to play for that team again. In fact, I'd love to play against them and kick their butt. That's why I believe that the Packers will do whatever they can to get him as far away from their division as possible.
Right.
Again, but that's based on my premise, and I have no sources. I have less than no sources. I just have, I don't know. How I would feel. It's the only time I've ever had anything in common with Jair Alexander. But I bet you, as a football player, the worst thing that can ever happen is for you to think that your teammates or coaches believe that you could play and you're not. I don't think there's anything worse. Football, everybody's hurt. And if there's somebody I can't trust to play, then I don't want them on my team, either a coach or a player.
And to what degree? And no one knows.
Right.
I'm just speaking in Jair's term.
Well, I'm saying to you as a player. I mean, no one's going to talk about that outside of the locker room. But you talk to a teammate and say, hey, dude could play. Why is he not playing? That's between you and your teammates or whatever. I'm sure you've had that opinion about somebody. Right?
Oh,
privately.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one's talking about that.
And especially when you know you need them.
Yeah, no one's talking. And even after the guy leaves, no one's talking about it.
Yes.
That's sacred.
Yes, because no one knows for sure.
Yeah.
Right? You think you know.
No one knows for sure.
And as Tony Smith has said, you don't understand that players now, everybody always has a fear that their leg won't be the same and then they'll hurt it and then they're done. But they now feel like they could be risking $100 million, $50 million.
Well,
like, I'm going to play now and now. Well, no, I'm just going to wait. Well, the doctor says you can play. I can't do it. I don't want to risk it. I got to wait a little longer. And they wait, and only the parties on the inside know the beliefs and opinions that all the parties involved had.
Correct. And that's today's players.
Yeah.
That wasn't like that when I played, obviously.
Well, my question is, if you had were exploring staying healthy so that your next contract could be $60 million, my guess is your approach might have been a little different.
Exactly, because the money is different.
Yes. I'm risking more.
I don't. Well, certainly.
But again, we'll wait and see that. And but yes, like Philly, they had rookie cornerbacks. I mean, the reality is Packers going to go, and I think they're more likely to try to find them through the draft.
Yes.
Or, you know, they're Xavier McKinney. Can't we? I can sure, if I'm Goody, hey, which teams are stupid out there? We might be able to get a good player because they don't value the player at that position, which was true of McKinney, or as far back to Charles Woodson, everybody else didn't think he could play cornerback anymore.
Yeah, no one valued him either. You're right.
And the rest is history. So that seems to be, I'd be shocked if the Packers end up getting this big name player that everybody still believes in. I think they're more likely to get someone where they see a different angle. Like I think with the Bucks, this Kuzma guy, I think the Bucks took a gamble because they thought he stunk with Washington because he was bored playing with a pathetic team. They looked back to how he played when he was with the Lakers when they won the title. And was it a gamble? Yeah, because you can't know for sure, but I think they were willing to take that risk because they feel like they had to do something. And so far, I would say, if that's the way they looked at it, he's proven he's a hell of a lot better player now than he was with the Wizards.
So, well, not even that. It was about availability for them,
correct,
right?
Correct, yes.
Because Middleton wasn't playing.
But so even if he's available and you just think he's not any good because he didn't really play well, you don't want him, right? But
That's understandable, but it was still about availability.
Correct.
And you got younger, and you got a guy that is going to be there for you every single game.
Right.
Where with Middleton, you didn't know whether he was going to be available for
you. But
it was a good trade for the Bucks.
Kuzma had been playing better for the Wizards, they'd have never got him for what they got him for.
Right.
So, everything is, I'm looking for the Packers to try to find the same kind of thing where they see something in somebody that other teams don't. And think of the Giants. Think of the Giants. McKinney comes to the Packers and their running back goes to the Eagles and wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah. 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 How about this? You want to think about the Giants, the head coach and the GM stays.
Yeah. I mean, the GM to me is fired. The second Philly wins the Super Bowl, and we got rid of that guy? What?
Yeah, they double down.
So anyway, all right. We will break the fourth quarter coming up.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
All right. Before we get started, the Gary Ellison Homer Hour. You got some partners to talk about. You got two partners to talk about.
Let's talk about my good friends at the Jewelry Center, guys. They're the only place to go for a ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. Guys, if your special someone is looking for that particular ring and you don't know exactly what she wants, they have a Pinterest board that they can look on, and my good friends over at Jewelry Center and their team of specialists can take care of the rest. Naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to engagement rings. The Jewelry Center has it all. Check them out and their inventory at any of their three locations in Greenfield, Brookfield, or Burlington, or online at shoptjc.com. And Homer, once again, my good friends over at the Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center, they're hosting another scramble over there, Homer, with $1,000 bucks in cash prizes available right now. Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center invites you to play a two-man scramble at TPC Scottsdale, all from the comforts of indoors on their top-tech, cutting-edge golf simulator. Grab a friend today and sign up at WisconsinIndoorGolfCenter.com. The tournament is $120 per pairing and runs through February 28th. Your winter chance to play at TPC Scottsdale awaits. WisconsinIndoorGolfCenter.com.
The Gary Ellison Homer. We have not talked about the tush push or whatever they call it.
Sure.
And you played in an era in which you're a running back and nobody can help you. You got the ball. Nobody can help you. Now, linemen can push other linemen up. People can do all the one. But when the person's got the ball, you can't help them. That's what you were taught, and everybody knew that, right? I just want to make sure I have it correct.
That's correct. Yeah. Yes. You couldn't assist the runner.
Yes. Whoever the runner was.
Yeah.
And then, as I said, and have talked about, the NFL referee said back in 2000, I don't know when it was, they said it was too hard to determine when you were pushing, and so they just said, all right, we'll just let it go. And as a result, teams have gotten smarter and smarter, and now they're just and I think it will develop even more. I don't know when you do that why you don't have your two heaviest players in the backfield behind the quarterback, maybe, you know, defensive players. I think it's
from the Philadelphia standpoint, Homer, though, they've drafted for that. I mean, they've got the biggest offensive lineman in the game.
Correct.
And that's why they did that with a tush push. Their center two guards, I mean, those guys are huge, and they understand what they're trying to get done. So they are actually drafted towards at perfecting
right.
that play more so. And of course, the Buffalo Bills, I think they do it a lot as well. But they drafted to make that work, where a lot of other teams, they don't necessarily see it as a weapon because they don't draft yeah. towards it. You know how some teams draft big receivers?
Well, and then Kim Ben, who your quarterback is. When I got a big yeah. quarterback, yes. as is the case with Philly and Buffalo, then I'm going to
yeah.
take advantage of that. I've hated it from the beginning because I don't think that's football, that's rugby. But now the Packers, apparently the team, and I think Mark Murphy always does whatever the league wants because I think they want a discussion. They want to know, and I think it's going to continue to be until or unless they can prove that it causes, there's a risk of harm to the players, which I don't know that there is, but if they can sell that part, then you can probably end it. But otherwise, fans seem to like it, other than old farts like me who remember back
yeah,
when.
I mean,
can you imagine Bart Starr? Can you imagine Bart Starr? That play would not exist because Mercine or all, they knew, don't you touch Bart Starr, or they can take away the touchdown if he scores it. Now, right. Who'd you had? You'd had Willie Davis behind him. He'd have had Ray Nitschke. Right. Can you imagine Ray Nitschke?
Yeah.
Oh, man, would that have been sweet. Anyway, what do you think? I didn't get your opinion.
But all those you think about, one of the biggest plays in Packer history is the quarterback sneak.
Right.
In the south end zone against the Dallas Cowboys, correct?
Because yeah. nobody helped Bart Starr.
Wasn't a tush push.
I know.
But it was a quarterback sneak.
Yeah. And you can credit the offensive line because they created the space. But back to you. Right. You played when the rule was different. What is your thought if the Packers went to you and said, we're going to complain or at least tell the league we'd like them to look into this play? Would you have said, good idea?
Here's why I don't have a problem with it. Is because Philadelphia took a rule or the lack thereof a rule
yeah.
and perfected it.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. So that means that 31 other teams can do that as well if they wish to. And they don't. So I don't think they should be penalized for using the tush push. They perfected it. Everybody else can do it too.
Right. Or someone's got to come up with a way to use it that bothers people.
Right, but you're right in the sense of the quarterback play with Jalen Hurts, right? He's not the same quarterback as a Jordan Love. So you really wouldn't want Jordan Love or like a Tom Brady or Mahomes, them guys. You wouldn't really want Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford. You wouldn't really want those guys doing it as much as they do it in Philadelphia and Buffalo.
This has been the Gary Ellerson Homer Hour. And as I like to say proudly, I don't know what's next, but it isn't as good. Next.